Are you among the millions of Americans who feel uncertain when it comes to their health care? Hey, Kevin Wall here. I'm happy to inform you there is a solution, and that solution is Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare is a community of like-minded people who work together to pay for their medical costs. There are no networks, so you choose your doctor and hospital. Liberty HealthShare allows you to easily decide how, when, and where you will access healthcare. It could be the best practical, moral, and economical choice for you and your family. Starting at $107 a month for a single, up to $449 a month for a family, that's mom, dad, and all kids. This is the way healthcare should be. For information, call 855-585-4237. That's 855-585-4237. Or visit libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org. And regain control over your healthcare costs. Together, we're changing healthcare for good.
Washington, D.C. It got a lot of evil there, but we're getting it out step by step. A lot of evil. A lot of bad people. A lot of bad people. A lot of fake media. Look at them. A lot of fake media. Listen up! NBC is perhaps worse than CNN, I have to tell you. And MSNBC is horrible.
Check it out!
It's 1999. I'm on Meet the Press. A show now headed by Sleepy Eyes Chuck Todd. He's a sleeping son of a bitch, I'll tell you.
That sounds awfully harsh. Why can't you be a little more supportive?
Number one! Time is running out! Number two! Time is running out! Number three! Time is running out! Number four!
Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Wall.
Fun lovers and truth seekers, you have come to the right place. It's live and local now for a Wednesday, a hump day. That means Chuck Muth, the president of Citizen Outreach, is joining us. Are you back in town or are you still out and about?
I am back in town and enjoying the warmer weather, finally.
You came back just in the nick of time. Chuck, I know that it seems like an eternity until 2020, but we've got more important things. We've got municipal elections here in Southern Nevada that are unfolding on April 2nd, and that's just around the corner. And I guess my question is, any races locally that have caught your eye at least yet?
You know, not really, other than, which won't happen in April, but the special election to replace Las Vegas City Councilman Steve Soroka, who resigned over some sort of sexual harassment or some kind of claim. I don't think we have all the details yet, but, you know, that's interesting in that the person who I would say is probably favored to win that race, and that'll be held at the June general election, is Victoria Seaman, who's a conservative Republican who served with Las Vegas City Councilwoman Michelle Fiore when they were in the legislature in 2015. And those two are going to make things, you know, extremely interesting at City Hall if she is elected to replace Councilman Soroka.
And do we know for sure about the date of that special election?
Well, I believe the special election is going to be held on the regular general election day in June, I believe. I don't know the exact date, but I don't think it's two separate days. I think they're just having the special election on the same day as the general election, if there are any races on the general election ballot.
Let me ask you, a lot of people are saying, you look at Steve Soroka, you look at Ricky Barlow, you look at Mike Sprinkle, you look at Kelvin Atkinson, and you see this decidedly Democrat culture of corruption. Is it too much to call it a culture of corruption across our state?
Yeah, I'm not quite that cynical. I don't believe you can label this one party or the other. It seems coincidental. No, it doesn't seem coincidental. panel that they all seem to be Democrats. But look, there are Republican candidates out there who have been caught up in scandals similar. For instance, U.S. Senator John Ensign. I mean, it was longer ago, but you know, we've had Republicans in hot water for these sorts of things as well as Democrats. It's just that all the more recent ones seem to all be Democrat elected officials, and maybe it's just that they weren't smart enough not to get caught.
Let me just ask you, is there a common thread that runs through all of these? I mean, the only thing I can take, because they're all different people, they all come from different walks of life, but somehow they get caught up in this political system in Carson City, here in town, and somehow they are corrupted. I'm not sure what does it. What is it that turns these people?
Well, it's... Gosh, it's right. I don't know the exact term to use, but yes. Once someone, let's put it this way: if you're running for office to start with, odds are you have a pretty good ego, you know, right out of the gate. And then once you get elected, all of a sudden, a lot of people pay a lot of attention to you for a lot of reasons. You're put up, you know, another notch in the society's ladder there. And I think it does go to a lot of people's heads. And one of the other bigger problems is, and I'll give State Senator Mike Roberson credit for this, I guess it was 4 or 5 years ago, you know, he put in and passed a bill that strictly limited the contributions that you could give from lobbyists to elected officials. Not contributions, but, you know, taking them out to dinner or things, to the point where I don't even think you can, you know, give them a glass of water without that violating the law. And that's a good thing. But the problem is these campaign contributions have the same effect as buying someone dinner. If it's illegal to take someone out to dinner at a nice restaurant, but it, you know, for $100 or $200, but it's not illegal to give a candidate $5,000 to their campaign, and the effect is the same. And I think that does create a problem in the minds of a lot of these elected officials. I don't know that there's an answer to it, but it does create a problem. And some of these folks get into office and abuse the system once they get in there. They have a much higher opinion of themselves than the normal person, and it's just. It's corrupting, to use your word. I don't want to say they're corrupt, but it does corrupt, I think, their thinking.
Well, and it's almost as if they seem to feel that campaign finance money, money that is donated by constituents, suddenly is their personal slush fund. I mean, is that right?
You know, there are examples here. I mean, we've seen this happen with Kelvin Adkinson and Ricky Barlow, I'm being told that there's yet another state legislator up there in Carson City right now who's also being investigated for converting campaign funds for personal use. Now, the problem is, in the law, what constitutes personal use? It's a very, very gray area. If you're going out and buying food for your home or clothing, or in Kelvin Atkinson's case, I think he leased a Jaguar or some fancy new car, yeah, that is a real big problem. But then you get into an area of whether or not a candidate is using campaign funds donated to them for travel expenses. Let's face it, especially these legislators in Carson City, the ones from Clark County, it's only a certain amount of their expenses are covered. Their housing. Look, if you live in Las Vegas and you have to go to Carson City 5 days a week, your hotel is only covered up to a certain point, and then you got to pick up the difference. So I have no problem with candidates who use voluntary campaign contributions to help offset the cost of being in office. There's a difference, but it's a gray area, and maybe it's something that the legislature's going to have to take a look at.
Again, Chuck Booth joining us, the president of Citizen Outreach. We're into week 7 of the 80th Nevada legislature. Anything happened in the last week or so that has caught your eye relative to possible legislation? We've had deadlines that have been, I guess, we were supposed to have a deadline Monday for bills to be entered. Then they passed a resolution saying, no, that deadline doesn't really count.
Yeah, that is a problem, and that is the biggie here, is that Monday at midnight was supposed to be the deadline. Everyone knew that Monday at midnight was the deadline. They've known it for many, many months, even while they were still running for office, and yet because of, I assume a lot of it has to do with the unrest in the Democrat Party, which controls the majority in both the Assembly and the Senate, over Kelvin Atkinson's resignation, over Assemblyman Sprinkle's resignation, that the Democrats said, oh, Al, we just don't have time to fix this. And a lot of it probably has to do with the fact that those two individuals sponsored bills, and now they got to go back and rewrite the bills to take their names off of the bills because the Democrats don't want those bills contaminated with those names being on it. So this is a problem of their own making, and I think it's unfortunate that they went ahead and this is the power of the majority, though. They get to make the rules, but it is a shame that they went ahead and changed the rule and gave everybody an extra 2 days to put even more bills in, like we don't have enough bills in there already.
More coming up. Chuck Muth, the president of Citizen Outreach, joining us from his palatial estate here in Southern Nevada. We'll talk more about what is to come in week 7. And ahead, we'll also talk about the tweet storm that the president went through over the weekend. Some 50 tweets over the weekend. Those of you that have teenage kids, maybe you've seen 50 tweets in a weekend. But this is a little unusual, and people are questioning the fitness of the president in office. We'll talk about that and a whole lot more coming up as we continue live and local now.
Mayhem is everywhere.
I'm the sun, and I'm confused. On most days, you're all, oh, I love the sun, it's the best. But when you're driving, you're like, wah, the sun's in my eyes. What do you want from me? I shine when I shine. Like right now, you're driving around a curve in the highway. I hit you square in the face and you don't see the car in front of you stop short. And if you've got cut rate insurance, well, that's not too bright. So get Allstate, where agents help keep you protected from mayhem. Like me.
Are you in good hands?
Call Sam Peters, owner of Peters Family Insurance. Sam holds Allstate's premier agency designation. Let Sam Peters make sure you have the insurance protection you need at a price you can afford. To get a quote today, call Sam at 702-870-4000. That's 870-4000. Subject to terms, conditions, availability, and coverage selected.
My fellow Nevadans, have you been wanting to start a new business but just don't know where to start? Do you have dreams of being independent and free to use your creativity? I'm Nathan Taylor, President and CEO of the Taylor Consulting Group. It's our mission to help small business owners get their doors open. This year, the Taylor Consulting Group is celebrating our 10-year anniversary. To date, we have helped over 1,000 small businesses get started here in our great state of Nevada. If you want to open a tavern, a supper club, a cafe, or a banquet facility, we can help. Our firm specializes in gaming licensing, liquor licensing, zoning matters, and government affairs. We are your one-stop shop for all your business consulting needs. Don't wait any longer to make your entrepreneurial dreams come true. Contact the Taylor Consulting Group today at 702-483-7045. That's 702-483-7045. Or visit our website at thetaylorconsultinggroup.com. That's thetaylorconsultinggroup.com. At the Taylor Consulting Group, your success is our business.
It keeps getting better and better at Rhythm Kitchen Seafood and Steaks. Hey, Kevin Wall here. The fun begins every afternoon, 4 till 6:30, with the best happy hour in the Vegas Valley. Mondays are extra special at Rhythm Kitchen. Enjoy happy hour all night long. And on Mondays, you get 50% off every bottle of wine under $100. Every day, Rhythm Kitchen features New Orleans-style seafood specialties. Crawfish etouffee, beignets, jambalaya. Like I said, it just keeps getting better and better. Rhythm Kitchen also features a banquet facility, so book your corporate events, birthday, anniversary, holiday parties, or any other celebration. Call Chris at 702-767-8438. That's 702-767-8438. Great food, incredible five-star service. I just love it. Open every day at 4, serving prime steaks and seafood. Rhythm Kitchen, located on South Decatur, just off the 215.
Hi, this is Jackie Thornhill, the president-elect of the Las Vegas Rotary Club. For 96 years, the Las Vegas Rotary Club has taught area youth to succeed through literacy, education, and life skills development. To fund our year-round programs, we hold one major fundraising event each year. This year, the Las Vegas Rotary Club brings together world-class cuisine and high octane. It's a speed and style reception Saturday night, April 27th at Celebrity Cars in Las Vegas at 7770 Dean Martin Drive. Check out classic and exotic cars and motorcycles, enjoy food station pairings, and learn about the amazing work the Rotary does in our community. You're all invited to our world-class speed and style reception benefiting Spread the Word Nevada. Tickets are just $60. Proceeds will stay right here in Southern Nevada and benefit community organization partners. To order tickets, go to LasVegasRotary.com. That's LasVegasRotary.com. And I'll see you Saturday night, April 27th.
790 Las Vegas and 98.1 Palm Springs. Talk now. Talk that rocks.
This hour of Live and Local Now brought to you in part by Liberty HealthShare, offering an affordable healthcare option that allows you to enroll any time of the year, even today. Check it out, 855-58-LIBERTY. That's 855-58-LIBERTY, or visit lightyourliberty.com. That's lightyourliberty.com. Chuck Muth joining us, the president of Citizen Outreach. Over the weekend, the president sending out 50 tweets on a variety of subjects. And now Democrats and liberal activists are coming out and saying it's a sign that perhaps the president lacks the fitness to be president. I don't know about you, Chuck. I like it when he essentially goes over the head of the fake news media and goes directly to the American people, like 60 million people.
I'm with you. Maybe we're outliers, Kevin, but I'm with you. I like the fact that we can hear from the president directly, unfiltered by a middleman, especially when the middleman is the fake news media. And this president, unlike other politicians, when you read what he tweets, you know that it's coming from him, and it's real and it's genuine. Whereas most politicians, they all try to sugarcoat it and say, "Well, my good friend from Delaware," when they really, you know, almost hate each other. So you know that, you know, this president just gives it to you straight and unvarnished, and I like that. I know what he's thinking. I get to read it straight from the horse's mouth, as they say. And so I'm happy with the tweeting. I know a lot of people wish that he would stop, but I think it's one of his strengths.
I want to ask you about something that came up on one of Laura Ingraham's shows just in the last couple of days, and it is the use of the term E-generation, and that is essentially the entitlement generation. And I want to ask you, as far as the entitlement generation, you've got kids. Do you see this in your kids? Do you see this in their friends? Do you see this in this next generation that's coming up?
Well, not my kids. but yeah, you know, and that's one of the reasons why we chosen to homeschool our kids. You know, a lot of this, and I think entitlement mentality, is foisted upon our children by the public school systems, who have a tendency to champion government as being good and government being the answer, or government should be the answer to everything that ails society, rather than teaching our children to be self-sufficient and independent. So, you know, I think there is a problem, but I don't know that it's simply this, you know, the E-generation, the 20-somethings now. This has been going on for a long time. I will tell you that there are a lot of baby boomers that I know, over 60 years of age, who possess that entitlement mentality, that the government owes them something, and that, you know, I as a fellow citizen owe them something. This has been going on for a long time, and I think it's just really gotten to almost a boiling point with the teenagers and the 20-somethings that we have today, including and especially their new hero, this AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. She seems to be the epitome of the entitlement generation, which is why socialism is making such a strong comeback, and it sure hasn't been taught that socialism is bad in our public schools, obviously.
Is it something we can fix?
Well, it's not something that government can fix, and it's not something that's going to happen overnight. It's a matter of, I think, two things. One, parents are going to have to take the responsibility themselves, and a lot of parents are at fault. When you have kids in school who act up in the classroom or don't get a good grade, and then the parents go after the teacher rather than after their own children, that's one problem that we have. The second problem, is just time, Kevin. When you and I grew up, I think you'll probably remember, too, they said that I forget exactly the phrase, but if you weren't a liberal when you were 20, you have no heart, and if you're not a conservative by the time you're 30, you have no brain. Because once they get into the job market and they have to start paying taxes and they see all the deductions coming out of their paycheck and they see that government really isn't the solution to all their problems and that we cannot afford to continue down this path. And that's really where the big problem is. And I hope that the president, maybe in a second term, I hope the next Congress after 2020 starts to tackle the real, real debt time bomb that we have. The spending is the problem. And we've got to find a way to tackle that, because the generations behind you and I are the ones who are going to be stuck with the bill. And eventually they're going to realize it. And maybe that's what's going to force the change.
In the final couple of minutes, though, are you surprised when you see polling that came out a week or so ago that among Gen Z and millennials, 50% would like to live in a socialist country? Does that surprise you?
It doesn't surprise me because of the indoctrination that they're receiving in our public school systems, but my response would be, take those 50%, send them down to Venezuela, and we don't have to send them there permanently. Just send them down there for a week. That would probably be worth the expense for the plane tickets to let them go down there and see what socialism really, really does to a country. And then maybe they'll come back with a completely different point of view, and they'll be disabused of that notion.
Or just send them down on a one-way ticket.
Or we could do that. And maybe you don't even have to send them to Venezuela. Maybe send them to California. It's the same thing.
The People's Republic of California. Let me just ask you, in the week ahead, anything you're going to be tracking in Carson City that we need to be zeroing in on?
Yeah, it's just, I guess the deadline now is midnight tonight to see what bills are introduced, and that's when you really start to get serious, because all these ideas that are being floated out there, the bill draft requests that are out there that aren't submitted, there's no sense in really worrying about them or talking about them until we know that they're actually put in bill form and they're going to be considered for an up or down vote in hearing. So I'm just waiting until tonight to see what the deadline is so that we know what we really, really, really need to focus on.
Hey, Chuck, if folks want to find out what you're up to, what you're writing about, the issues that matter to you, how do they find you?
Just go to NevadaNewsAndViews.com. You can enter your email address to get my free Moose Truth e-newsletter there, NevadaNewsAndViews.com.
Sounds good. Chuck, have a great week. We'll talk to you again next week.
You got it, Kevin. Take care.
There you go. Chuck Muth joining us, as he does each and every Wednesday. He was out of town with his family last week, but he still joined us. He joined us from Southern Nevada today. Coming up, a candidate for mayor, city of Las Vegas, and it's not Carolyn Goodman. Have you seen Carolyn Goodman? She's been up on TV for about 4 or 5 weeks now. She's taking this thing seriously. April 2nd for the primary. Stick around. More to do as we continue. It is Live and Local now.
790 Las Vegas and 98.1 Palm Springs. Talk now. Talk that rocks.
It is live and local now all across the state of Nevada and in SoCal, too. Kevin Wall with you. We've got municipal elections coming up April 2nd. Just in a matter of a week or so. And joining us now, one of the candidates for mayor. No, not Carolyn Goodman, although you've seen Carolyn Goodman all over the place on TV. Amy Luciano, a candidate for mayor in studio. She is a Republican. These are nonpartisan elections, but she is proud to say she is a Republican, and she joins us. Good morning.
Good morning.
I know that you've seen the ads. She's been up. The mayor has been up on TV for at least a month that I know of. How difficult is it going to be to unseat an incumbent that's got apparently lots of money in a what is probably going to be a low turnout election?
You know, I'm going to disagree with you on that. I think it's actually we'll end up with more people this time around probably than the last two times. I looked at 15 and 11. The fact that she's dumped maybe $1 million into this for a $100,000 a year job is really questionable at best. Who spends that kind of money? Me personally, I've received $300 in donations, and the rest of it has either come from our companies or our own family funds, and we've spent, I think, $5,500 so far.
Wow.
Yeah.
Versus $1 million or $1 million plus. Again, she may spend more. If this thing would go to a general in June, you can bet she's got more money probably in the kitty waiting.
Yeah, I assume she does. I looked at her contributions list, and she had a lot of $10,000 contributions early in the game from a lot of the casinos and stuff who... A lot of the local businesses are complaining, saying that, you know, their businesses are being restricted access and so forth. And Carolyn was getting huge contributions from those casinos that the smaller businesses were complaining about. So,
Amy Luciano, she is running for mayor of Las Vegas. Let me just ask you. A lot of people are going to say Amy Luciano. Who is Amy, and why are you running?
Well, I am a mother of four. I actually run a nonprofit in town called the Dress Deals Project. We take care of people who are embroiled in contentious litigation through family law. We assist them and help them find counsel who would otherwise not take their case. We do record reviews and so forth. I'm married. I also have a litigation consultant services company.
So are you an attorney?
Not yet. Soon.
Okay. Soon, really?
Soon.
All right. No. So, but you are a small business person.
Yes.
And okay. So I want to ask you, and I ask everybody that sits in this chair, you're spending not a lot of money, but you're spending your own money.
Yes.
You're spending a lot of nights out knocking on doors, I'm sure, talking with people, going to town halls, going to candidate forums. And I guess my question is, why go to all this effort?
Because Vegas is missing something. When I saw Ms. Goodman's tag, what was it again? Something along the lines, together we can build a world-class city. It perplexed me and actually insulted me being a third-generation Nevada-born, raised in Las Vegas. My kids are fourth. And when I sit there and think about that, I go, how can we be a world-class city when we have an education epidemic? We have the worst education system in the country, mind you. And we have a homeless epidemic coupled with opioid addiction. How is it we're a world-class city? My other thing I also noticed looking through the newspapers was it appears Ms. Goodman actually isn't the one down at City Hall running it. I saw more of our mayor pro tem, Ms. Tarkanian, who is actually down there making the decisions. And she's limited as to her power because she just doesn't have carte blanche authority like the mayor herself does. So it really comes down to what is she running for?
I want to ask you about something that we talk about on this program in one form or another probably every day, 5 days a week. And that is our failing education system.
Yes.
We've invested so much money into what I call whiz-bang educational stuff, Zoom schools, victory schools, and I'm still looking for the needle to be moved. We know that opportunity scholarships moves the needle, that kids that were in that program for a year did better. But I'm curious, what kind of problems do you see in our city relative to education? And do you have any ideas to fix it? Is it going to be more money, throw more money at it?
No, I don't think we need to throw more money at the education system. Actually, I think that we need to go in and have the books forensically reviewed to determine where every single dollar is going. From what I understand, and this is just word of mouth, but if this is true, they say that 87% of the money that comes from Nevada DOE paid into Clark County School District is paid at the top level administrative. Meaning 87% of, let's just use a hypothetical number, 50 million. But before we even take 87% of 50 million, I don't think a lot of people realize 30% of that 50 million is set aside for litigation costs, settlement of lawsuits, so on and so forth, since the last scandal with the Clark County School District. It's obvious the blueprint is broke. It's not going to work. You can't keep throwing money at it. You can't keep pushing paper. It's going to take it. Basically, it's going to have to be broken down and reconstructed.
What is it that the city can do? You know, we always talk about education, and the Clark County School District is kind of an entity unto its own. It's its own, you know, level of government. What is it that the city can do?
Well, the city can declare an emergency. The mayor can, as a matter of fact. In fact, if you look at the most recent article, Mayor Pro Tem Tarkanian was on attempting to declare such an emergency, but she didn't have the power to do such. Only Mayor Goodman does. She's failed to do it. She's not going to do it because she doesn't want to address it. You declare an emergency. We begin using the internal departments within the city to start deconstructing the financial budget of Clark County School District to really see what's going on. Where is the money going? What can we do? More money isn't going to fix it. We need to start, I think, lighting the load, essentially.
Let me ask you, is it your belief that if we elected you, is it your belief that you could improve the schools, that we could see the needle move in the first 2 or 3 years?
Considering how much cooperation that we get, it's going to be a really big key factor. And if it's going to be a standoff, we just saw what happened not too long ago with the federal government where everything shut down once there was a little pushing back and forth. It's the same kind of concept here. And the school district does believe that they are their own government and their own entity and can do whatever they want. I've been out and spoken to the schools. I've talked to the principals. I've met with the vice principals. I've met with the teachers. They told me even this new program, this splitting of the districts or whatever it is, they said it was a joke in all intents and purposes, that it has done nothing but push additional work on them, paperwork to fill out. It is taking our principals, our vice principals, and our teachers out of the classroom. They're not seeing any more money into the schools. And now this new program wants to know what the schools are receiving in donations from the parents to determine what type of budget they get from the Nevada DOE. As far as I know, donations are donations. Those are off limits, and that's something extra that the schools should receive. Our classrooms are deficient. Our education materials are outdated. Our teachers are underpaid. We can't get quality teachers in. The one schools, though, that I do see that do well, that are ran by the state, happen to be our charter schools. They do very well, and they have a real successful blueprint, and I think that is something that we should start to delve into to fix the issues with Clark County School District.
Amy Luciano, running for mayor of Las Vegas. She is a Republican, one of three Republicans that will be on the ballot on April 2nd. And one of the other issues I know that you have fought very hard for, and that is the problem that we have with homelessness. And I've seen some people try and link homelessness and opioid addiction almost as if they are morphed together. Just talking about the homeless problem, is there anything the mayor can do? Is there anything you could do as mayor to alleviate this homeless crisis? I mean, it's horrible, and it's getting worse.
It is getting worse. And yes, the mayor can do something about it. Again, declare another public emergency for the safety, welfare, and well-being of the residents of the city of Las Vegas. I was reading some articles the other night and came across where Salt Lake, it was an article out of San Francisco, who, by the way, happens to be suing us for some events that happened back in 2013 through 2015, where they said that Salt Lake is now a mentor to the city of San Francisco because they have come up with this blueprint or project of programs that actually works in curing some of the homeless issues. Why isn't that being done here right now? Why aren't we reaching out to sister cities or other municipalities and looking and seeing what they're doing, looking at their data, looking at their programs that are working and saying, hey, do you mind? Can we use it? Can we model from it? Whatever it is. And then actually find quality contractors who are going to do the work for us and they get paid for the work that they do. Curing the homeless issue will bring additional work. It'll make the public feel better about itself. It will uplift our communities, and it will also help curb some of the opioid addiction. The fact is this, most of the homeless are mentally ill. It's a true statement. The only reason they are using is because they are homeless.
Wow. Amy Luciano running for mayor. She is a Republican, believe it or not. And we'll talk more about her campaign and the state of the city. If you listen to Mayor Goodman, everything's rosy. Jobs are up and construction workers are at work and a lot of good stuff going on. Is that really the case? Or is there another side of that story? We'll talk about that more coming up. Live and local now.
This is Amy Emanuel, your Republican candidate for Las Vegas City Council Ward 1. I was raised with the values of hard work, giving back to the community, and monetary responsibility. Las Vegas wants a representative that will support small business and spur job growth, promote pedestrian safety, and tackle our chronic homeless issue. I have the integrity and necessary experience to do this job. Please support me at the polls this April 2nd. A vote for Amy Emanuel will guarantee another conservative voice on the Las Vegas City Council, paid for and authorized by Committee to Elect Amy Emanuel.
Hey, Kevin Wall here. A few months ago, a friend invited me for a Tuesday evening of fun at Ichabod's Lounge. Ichabod's isn't in my neighborhood, and yeah, I had to drive an extra 10 minutes, but boy, am I glad I did. What I didn't know at the time was that Ichabod's has been there for 31 years and family-owned for 19 years. It's one of the top gaming bars in Las Vegas with the best promotions and amazing monthly cash giveaways and payouts. As they say at Ichabod's, we manage with generosity. Ichabod's features incredible menu items, including steaks, seafood, burgers, pasta, and five daily specials. And their kitchen's open 24 hours for you late-night foodies. And I just love Ichabod's old-school Vegas atmosphere. When everybody else is cutting back, Ichabod's continues to super serve its customers. Check out their nightly entertainment at the Piano Bar from 6:30 to 10:30. You want to win? You want to have fun? Then I'll see you at Ichabod's Vintage Vegas Dining, Gaming Lounge, and Piano Bar on East Flamingo at Pecos.
Hello, this is Jared Fisher. I'm a business owner, community thought leader, and I ran for governor in 2018. As the owner of Las Vegas Cyclery and Escape Adventures, I know the importance of exercise and spending time in the outdoors. And I know the amazing outdoor experiences we have in Nevada. For this Christmas, Las Vegas Cyclery has kids bikes, affordable hybrid mountain bikes, and gift cards. We also have a wide variety of the latest e-bikes, which allows anyone to ride a bike, especially for those who want to ride a bike again but have some limitations. For more information, visit LasVegasCyclery.com. We're located at 10575 Discovery Drive at the exit ramp of Town Center and 215. Our phone number is 702-596-2953. And for those of you who are interested in a more extended outdoor experience, visit EscapeAdventures.com for gift cards and a one-of-a-kind outdoor adventure. EscapeAdventures.com.
I'm John Sarpolis, president of Nevada Policy Research Institute. Nevada Policy has been following legislative session closely, and we've been letting you know what bills you, as a taxpayer and a citizen, should be worried about. We're doing more than simply watching what happens in Carson City. We're making sure that taxpayers, citizens, and individuals have a voice. But we can't do it on our own. We depend on our partners throughout Nevada, individuals, parents, and taxpayers, who donate to our cause and support our mission. It's because of the generosity of our supporters that we're able to give a voice to taxpayers and fight for freedoms we hold dear. Visit NevadaPolicy.org/donate and partner with us today. Together, we can make sure that government lobbyists and insiders aren't the only voices heard in Carson City. That's nevadapolicy.org/donate. This Nevada Policy Update is supported by Jim Marsh Kia, Jim Marsh Chrysler Jeep, and the Jim Marsh Auto Body Shop.
America's built and based on liberties and freedoms. Liberty HealthShare brings that to healthcare. The liberty of choosing your own doctor. The liberty of choosing your own hospital. Liberty HealthShare makes healthcare affordable to millions of Americans. Light your liberty. Starting at $199 for a single, $399 for a couple. And no matter how big the family, only $529. That's $529 for the entire family. To find out how you can save, go to lightyourliberty.com. That's lightyourliberty.com.
790 Las Vegas and 98.1 Palm Springs. Talk now. Talk that rocks.
It's live and local now. Good to have you with us. Kevin Wall with you. Amy Luciano joining us in studio. She is a candidate for Las Vegas mayor. Big municipal election coming up April 2nd. It's the primary. And the way I understand it, you get 50% plus one vote. And it's over. You don't have to get a general election. You don't have to spend any money. You don't have to do squat. Amy, let me ask you. Everything I've heard from the incumbent mayor, Carolyn Goodman, is that the city's in great shape. That essentially, we've come through the recession and it's clear sailing. We got construction going on all around us. We've got jobs. People are working. Wages are up. Blah, 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 blah. Is it as good as Carolyn Goodman says it is?
No, it's not. It is not. It's far from being as great as she says that it is. The fact that she ignores that we have the worst education system in the country is irrehensible. I mean, it's just unconscionable, actually. And the fact that she completely ignores the homeless issues is a serious problem. Not too long ago, I went to Ward 5's town hall, and I'm going to tell you, those people, that community feels left behind.
What's their gripe?
All of the homeless are being pushed into their ward. You start to drive down their streets and it is riddled and filled. There's garbage on the streets. There's homeless people. I mean, it is bad.
Now, has the city precipitated this, or is this something where they just matriculated to there on their own?
You know, I kind of noticed something when I was driving. Key roads were blocked off. Certain things were closed down. And I also noticed it appears our law enforcement, which is under the control of Mayor Goodman, goes to certain areas to push them away from the strip, to push them away from downtown, to push them into other wards or districts. So this way, out of sight, out of mind, so she can have her world-class city.
I want to ask you, one of the things that you are promising, kind of a campaign promise, is the whole notion of creating jobs. And you want to make sure that everybody has access to a quality job. How do you do that as mayor? And is there anything specifically that you plan to do?
I think the first thing that we need to do is fix the skewed perception of the city that abroad is a huge issue. Because if we can't pull new businesses or new families into this community so they can establish businesses to help create new jobs, what are we left with? Gaming? We have huge competition coming in all the other states on that right now. And I guarantee you they don't have some of the issues that we have going on, nor do they have worse education or a homeless epidemic right now. The other thing that we need to do is we have to start reinvesting back into our communities. There's a serious issue. I spoke to one of the candidates, another Republican candidate for Ward 3, and he told me in Ward 3, from what he understands and what he's been able to dig into and uncover, is there are no city services being funded for any of the residents in Ward 3. And I said, how is that possible? And he said, well, they're saying that there's no money in the treasury, that it's going to other projects or it's going to other developments. To me, that was the same gripe I heard from Ward 5. No city services, no opportunities being given. They have all kinds of, Title I stuff going on where they could get federal grants and everything, but they still have to get something from the city to even get that going to be able to build up the community to, inquire, obtain anything, any of those types. I have some serious concerns because she says everything is great. Then why are we paying contractors to not do their jobs and then turn around and say there's no city services available for key specific wards? What I've heard a lot of is that she's forgotten about Ward 1, Ward 3, Ward 5. 2 is on her mind because that's up in Summerlin, of course, master plan community. 4, I haven't been out there yet. And 6, Michelle, I believe Michelle, who's over 6? Michelle. Yeah, Michelle Fiore. Michelle's got that under control.
I think she does. let me just ask you, the idea of having maybe Victoria Seaman and yourself and Michelle Fiore, that could be a powerful Republican force if we can get everybody on the council.
Absolutely. It would actually allow us to start the shift back to change the state to red. The state always prospered under red. It always did well under red. We always had governors that were red. Whatever happened this last election, I think a lot of Republicans felt abandoned or they were worn out or felt that there was just no way to come back from such a huge Democratic turnout in the initial elections. I was actually shocked to see that, I got the voter lists. I did. Active, current. I also got past elections. I analyzed and looked at the numbers. 2 Republicans in this entire city have voted in every single election since 2011. Only 2.
Wow. I've got to ask you, because we always talk about this, is the mayor debating the rest of you? Have you been involved in a debate at all?
No.
No debates?
No debates. The city to her is perfect. Would you want to debate me? No.
She will not debate you.
She won't debate anybody, let alone me. I mean, I do know Oscar. Oscar knew my father, knew my family. If I were Oscar, I'd probably tell Carolyn, don't. I wouldn't do it.
Okay, let me just ask you in our final minute. I know it's late in the race. Is there anything you need from potential constituents? If people want to reach out to you, if they want to donate money, put in yard signs, do whatever it is that people do, how do they reach out to you?
They can reach me on email, which is elect@amyluciano.com. They can visit the website. We have 2 of them up and going. We have www.amyluciano.com, www.amyluciano4mayor.com. So they can get a hold of us on all of those. Our phone numbers are on there. Emails are on there. Gary Forsh, who has been awesome, he's actually volunteered on a lot of this. They can get a hold of him. Kevin Goodell over at Ad Nation, who has been helping out a lot and trying to navigate through some of this with us. They can get a hold of him as well, too.
Amy, it is great to finally meet you. Best
yeah,
of
you
luck.
Thank you.
It is, I think most people would agree, an uphill battle. Maybe you'd agree with that as well. But funny things happen on Election Day, and Election Day is coming up on April
6th. Really voting right now.
Oh, that's
people
right.
Need to go vote now.
How about early voting?
Ooh,
my gosh. Hey, thank you so much for coming
in,
and good luck. Amy Luciano, running for mayor. Somebody that's actually bold enough to run against Carolyn Goodman. Stick around. More to do as we continue. It is live and local now. Hot air ballooning. Over the decades, many of you have enjoyed the freedom of flight, floating high above the Las Vegas Valley, overlooking the beauty and diversity of our great city. But one segment of our society has been denied that opportunity. Wounded warriors, seniors, children with disabilities, in fact, anyone who's mobility challenged or might have trouble coming aboard. But all that has changed. Hey, Kevin Wall here, chairman of the board of Chariot of Fire Ballooning, a new 501c3 nonprofit. Our mission is to provide free or subsidized flights for those who can't afford it on one of a handful of hot air balloons in the world that are wheelchair accessible. Unlike other hot air balloons where you have to climb up and over into the basket, Chariot of Fire features a basket with a ramp so that everyone can come aboard with ease and with dignity. But I need your help. If you'd like to help wounded warriors and others in our community who are mobility challenged to live out their dream of flight, check out chariotoffireballooning.org. Your donation is tax deductible. That's chariotoffireballooning.org. And thank you in advance for your generosity.